Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, it is time to call the August 15th Board of Adjustment meeting to order. Roll call, please.
McGill, absent. Scarlett?
Here.
Brecky?
Here.
Youngberg, absent. Neubauer?
Here.
Thank you. All right, first item on our agenda is the approval of tonight's agenda. So is there anything we need to add to the agenda or any changes?
We're just talking about the minutes.
I know.
I think you can just decide whether or not you want to have those, have staff bring us, have them be brought back.
Are you okay if we table the minutes until our next meeting? Okay.
Do we need like to make a motion that we do that? Or?
Yeah, let's just
we need to get to it?
Yep, okay. So I need a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
I'll make a motion. We approve the agenda.
We need a second.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Sorry. That's okay. Next item on our agenda is minutes of the previous meeting, which is from June 20th of this year. And in light of the fact that I was not at the meeting and Matt is new to our group, I think we should table the minutes until our next meeting. So could we? I get a motion to table the minutes?
I would make a motion that we table it and approve it next month.
Okay.
Seconded.
Okay. Do we need a roll call vote or just unanimous?
Thanks. The voice votes, okay.
Okay. So all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Next item is public comments. So we invite our public to speak if you have any matter that is not on the agenda already for tonight. No? Okay. So seeing no one to do that, we will continue on. Next item is the discussion and consideration of CUP 08-18, the City of Gilbert Wastewater Treatment Plant Improvements. Amelia.
Yeah. Okay, so this is by Gilbert. It's the City of Gilbert's wastewater treatment plant. It's a request for a conditional use permit to upgrade the system and put a new system in within the existing footprint. The applicant is Fox Engineering and Woodruff Construction. The applicant is here today with Fox, so if you have questions, they are also available. And the property owner is the City of Gilbert. This is just a vicinity map, so you can see kind of in the starred area. The parcel actually extends all the way to the boundary here. It's a unique configuration, and it's located off of George Washington Carver. So the parcel is 36.65 acres. It's landlocked, but the city does own a separate parcel. That's a 33-foot-wide parcel for access that extends all the way to the road. The property is adjacent to the southwest corner of the city, but separated by a railroad line from that corporate boundary, and then a creek runs on the south side of the plant. It's the receiving stream for the wastewater plant's effluent discharges. This plant was originally established in 1969. The parcel was at that point rezoned to allow the use. Later on, wastewater treatment plants were allowed only through a conditional use permit process. And so when, in 1984, the plant was expanded, a conditional use permit was approved at that point. So this is the parcel. It's shaded. You can see that this is the corporate boundary of Gilbert. And here's the railroad. These are the closest dwellings. These were pretty recently constructed in 2015. It's a newer subdivision, so after the establishment of the wastewater treatment plant. And they're approximately 400 feet from the closest lagoon here. Regarding future land use of the area, again, the lagoon is this, the wastewater treatment plant is this shaded area. We are located in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan for future land use. It's designated as a natural area because of the creek that runs through the site. Around it, however, is planned industrial area, which is, it's an urban expansion area. It's a place where development may occur in the future at an urban scale and be annexed. That there's appropriate infrastructure available. So this will definitely work to those ends. Here's the floodplain map so you can get a better view of the creek. This is Gilbert Creek. And then this is the current site, so you have cell 1 and 2, which were the original cells to the plant, and cells 3 and 4, which were added on in 1984. A proposed use is a major modification, so a new conditional use permit to that 1984 conditional use permit, so that we include all of the lagoons in the conditional use permit and all improvements. Again, the type of system will be changed, but the footprint will be maintained. Currently, the system is considered a controlled discharge lagoon system where wastewater is held for a minimum number of days prior to discharge to allow natural treatment processes to occur. This controlled discharge system, it limits the capacity of the current system, and it's not sufficient currently to support sufficient treatment of the wastewater during periods of higher rainfall or, you know, in the city, if the city grows in the future. So the new system will include several new improvements, including a submerged attached growth reactors for ammonia removal and UV light disinfection, and this will allow for continuous discharge of wastewater effluent, and that will allow for a greater capacity and ensure that limits for E. coli under the DNR's permit for this wastewater treatment plant are met. So site improvements for this new system
include one building. It's a blower building, so it will house blowers that will allow the system to become
aerated. So the new system will be aerated. It'll have this building that blows air into the lagoons now. The proposed building is metal, kind of like a utility building, 11 feet in height and 32 feet by 26 feet. Inside of that building, the blowers will be housed within a soundproof structure as well to prevent excessive noise. And the building also has an air inlet filter on the north side. It includes a new transformer and generator and some new gravel around the building. It will be located in the far northwest corner of the site. So this is the building, the generator and transformer. You can see the blowers in here. This is the air intake and some gravel to be added. And so this is what the building will look like. Again, it's 11 feet in height in a steel utility building or metal utility building. Regarding how wastewater will flow through the new system and be treated, there will be a new effluent metering structure, which will take wastewater into the cells. That will be located below grade and will have a deck plate and hatch cover over top, which will be located at grade. Additionally, some sludge will be removed from the existing cells, and the cells will be regraded. The sludge will be moved to cell number 4. Prior to final disposal through land application. Some clay from cell 1 will also be used in construction and temporarily stored in a berm to the north of cell 3. You'll see a map here in just a second. And sludge will also be removed from the east half of cell 3 and moved to the west side of the cell because the east side of cell 3 will serve as the location of part of the new system that doesn't involve a lagoon, the Sagger system. To remove ammonia. There will also be a new control structure that routes effluent from cells 1 and 2 to the Sagger structure, and this will also be located below grade but have a cover at grade. The new structures themselves for ammonia removal will also have a hatch over top and be located below grade. Those consist of insulated and aerated below grade gravel beds, essentially, that the wastewater flows through for ammonia to be removed. And then part of one of those includes the UV structure that will be used for disinfection. And after UV treatment is completed, the effluent will be metered to a new outlet pipe and head wall for discharge. So again, here's the blower building. These are the first two cells, so cell 1 and cell 2. Here's the control structure between the cells that will be located below grade. These are the new assemblies that you see here to aerate the cells. Again, the blower building will connect and aerate the cells. And this is the new influent metering structure that will take wastewater into the plant. And part of cell 3 will also be not aerated. It will be a quiescent cell, which allows for settling before it's taken into the Sagar cells, where there will be treated for ammonia. So this is cell 3, and part of the Sagar cells. You can see that their excavated clay to be used in construction will be located temporarily here. And you can also see the UV structure will be located down here. And this is the new lagoon effluent structure. We have already issued a floodplain permit for the new outlet and headwell pipe that are related to the effluent. These are the only improvements that will occur in the floodplain. The applicant anticipates to finish this project by August of 2019, August 30th. There will be a couple other improvements to the access drive as well. Regrading, new rock installed, and a new gate, and new warning signs will be installed, as well as some lighting on the buildings, the new blower building. And I just wanted to show you, this is the new outlet pipe and headwall that's located in the floodplain, because that's where Gilbert, the discharge will into Gilbert Creek will occur. This is looking east from the entrance, so onto the wastewater plant. This is looking west from the entrance onto George Washington Carver back here. This is looking north and northeast on cell 2, and the blower building site is located all the way up here, and you can see the city of Gilbert over here. It's much bigger on my screen. Sorry. This is looking west on cell 1. You can see where this construction trailer is the approximate location of the blower building site. This is looking west on cell 3, and where that new system will be installed. This is looking southwest on cell 4. And so getting into standards of approval, in order to approve a conditional use permit, the board must conclude that our 5 standards for a conditional use permit are met. The first one is for compatibility. The majority of the new structures will be below grade, except for the blower building, which will look like a steel utility building, and have, you know, proofing inside for blowers to prevent excess noise. All adjacent parcels are zoned A1 agricultural and in agricultural production, as you saw in the aerial imagery. One does have a few utility buildings located on it, but there are no adjacent dwellings. The closest dwellings are located inside the city of Gilbert across the railroad tracks. The site, the use of the site and the footprint will not change. So this area has been in agricultural operations for about, 49 years since the wastewater treatment plant was first established. And again, the closest dwelling was constructed after the plant's establishment as well. Staff finds that this site improvements will have minimal impact on adjacent properties and are necessary for the operation of the wastewater treatment plant. Regarding transition, there is vegetation along Gilbert Creek that provides a pretty decent buffer between the residential development to the east. Again, we will have only one above-grade structure, so no additional buffering is provided. And the lagoons and cells themselves are located a little bit below grade. They slope down. The sides of the cells slope down, so you can't really see those either. Regarding traffic, it will likely continue at similar levels. Again, the use really isn't going to change. City staff will still perform routine inspections at the site. And they will be improving the access. The access is proposed to be regraded and a new gate installed. Regarding parking and loading, this will not be accessible to the public, and we have parking maximums in Story County, so no new parking is required. Regarding signs and lighting, we will have 16 warning signs on the perimeter fence. That's required by the Iowa DNR, but those signs do not require a permit. They will be 24 inches by 14 inches. And all lighting on the site will be directed downwards in conformance with the lighting requirements in Story County Land Development Regulations. The closest dwellings that don't really have a vegetative buffer between themselves and the site are over 1,000 feet away and located in unincorporated Story County. And for environmental protection, overall, this will help improve the effluent discharges quality that goes into Gilbert Creek further, because this is an open cell design. It will capture most of the stormwater that falls on the site and treat it like the wastewater would be treated. A stormwater pollution prevention plan for runoff control during construction has been submitted, and they have already submitted and had an approved floodplain permit issued for the work that will occur in the floodplain. So if you conclude that all of these development criteria are met, you can approve the application, unless you conclude that based on the information submitted with the official application materials and at the hearing, that if completed as proposed, there is a strong probability the development will not adequately safeguard health, safety, and general welfare, impair adequate supply of light and air, unduly increase congestion in roads, or hazard from fire or flood, diminish or impair established property values, or not be in accord with the intent and purpose of our future land use plan. And I just wanted to note on the fifth criteria that it has to be in accordance with our future land use plan, the Story County C2C plan, as well as the Ames Urban Fringe plan. The areas that this site is located in are urban growth areas, they're urban expansion areas. These areas are typically annexed prior to development, but one of the main criteria that these areas meet is that appropriate infrastructure is provided. And so really, it's benefiting the surrounding area that is designated as an urban expansion area to ensure that in the future there is appropriate infrastructure. So it really fits well within those goals. Further, it is designated as a natural area because there is floodplain related to the creek, but there won't be any improvements besides the new discharge headwall and pipe into the creek, and we have already had a floodplain permit approved for those. And so I think overall, though, the main takeaway is this will improve the quality of discharge into the creek. And so just some points to consider. This is an existing use previously approved. All work is within the existing footprint. This will improve the quality of discharge and the capacity of the plant, and it's consistent with our future land use plans. Further, the Iowa DNR oversees the permitting of discharge, the quality, the flow of that discharge as well. A few comments from county departments. Engineer's office just noted that there is district tile in the area, and they should be careful of that during construction. We mailed notification letters within a quarter mile. One property owner did attend the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, who had received notice. He mainly asked if property values would be impacted by the changes. The assessor's office did not raise any concerns with that. Again, this is an existing use, so he didn't express support or opposition to the request. He just had a request for more information about property values. Application materials were routed to the City of Ames because they're a part of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, and we did not receive comments. And so the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval at their August first meeting. They did ask several questions about noise levels. The applicant again stated that the blowers would be housed kind of in a soundproof structure within a building. But they also noted that there would be a low level of noise with the aerated cells, the aeration of the cells, and the continuous discharge, but it's not anticipated to affect the development inside the City of Gilbert. There is a railroad track there as well. Staff noted that there are existing trees that provide somewhat of a buffer. They also asked about how much capacity increase this would permit. I think there was some question about, you know, how much this would allow Gilbert to grow in the future. And the applicant noted that it's designed based on a 20-year growth projection, so it's designed to have a capacity to support the next 20 years of anticipated growth. And then there was also a question about if the cells could flood, and the applicant stated that the IOGNR requires the cells to be elevated to prevent flooding. Staff also noted that these are not located within the designated floodplain. So these are your alternatives. Alternative one was the recommended alternative. Do you have any questions? It's approval without conditions.
I've got a couple questions.
Sure.
So, I'm not sure who, but why are they moving the sludge from one to another instead of just spreading it?
A lot of it has to do with timing for construction, late application.
Would you mind going up to the podium?
There's a microphone up there.
Just state your name and then address the question, please.
Steve Abag, Fox Engineering. Your question was why we don't just go ahead and land apply all the sludge right now, and that was something that was considered. It kind of has to do with the timing. Land application can really only happen during the fall, typically, sometimes during the spring when crops are out of the fields, and that would just be a challenge for the contractor to get all that work done and get the timing right when they can do the land application and get all the other work that they have to do during the project. So we're just having them temporarily put the sludge into cell 4, and then we'll be working with DNR and the city to develop a plan for when that sludge will be land applied in the future.
So I don't know, is it a pretty good size creek? It looks pretty small.
The creek that goes by?
Yeah.
It's more of a drainage ditch, I would say.
So will there be times during a drought where the only water would be the effluent in that creek?
Yeah, I would say that's true. That's accurate.
So but that water is pretty close to normal water at that point, I'm guessing?
Yeah. The water quality standards that DNR has set are based on protecting the aquatic life that may be in that creek, with just the treatment system being the only flow that goes into it. So it has very, very tight limits for ammonia and other parameters that could affect aquatic life.
So I noticed from your report that the closest property was built in 2015?
Yeah, the closest one is this one right in here.
Inside the city.
Inside the city.
Okay.
And that was a newer subdivision, and so they've all been built, after the wastewater treatment plant was established.
Okay. I'm just curious if there were safeguards to say, okay, you need to acquire more land.
Yeah, I think the DNR does have separation standards.
They do have separation standards for new facilities. So if we were going to put in a new lagoon system somewhere new, we'd have to either be 1,000 feet away from the nearest habitable building or get waivers from those property owners. So in this case, since the property owners came after the plant was already there, and we're not expanding the footprint, we're just changing the treatment essentially to provide a better treatment. There's no DNR requirements as far as changing anything with the property owners.
Could you point out where the blower building is to be?
Yep, it's going to be on this side of the site.
So the new cells 3 and 4 will be in that area to the east?
They're here. They're existing.
Okay.
So 3 will have half of it approximately taken out for that new system here. And then 4 will just be used for the sludge.
Any other questions from the board?
In the terms of capacity, could you talk about, is this a factor of 5 times more capacity?
No, I think we're roughly, it's somewhere between maybe 30 and 50% capacity over what they've got right now. So they're expecting potentially a pretty good growth rate up there in the Gilbert area. There would be the ability with the system that they have to provide even more capacity in the future without having to expand the site, just because of the type of treatment that we went with. So,
anything else, Matt?
No.
Since you're at the podium, do you want to go ahead and address anything that Amelia didn't?
I think she covered everything really well.
Okay.
Very, very accurate. So.
Okay.
And how the whole process works and how it fits together.
Okay.
So good job.
Good. Well, thank you so much for coming.
All right.
With that said, we close the public hearing, and now we need to deliberate. And we've got our option alternatives on the board or on the wall.
Oh, yeah. So the first one is just approval with no conditions. That was recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Alternative two would be if you come up with any other conditions. And then three is denial, and then four is tabling until your next meeting if you need more information.
So usually the one you guys recommend is in bold.
I know. I meant to put it in color this time, but failed.
And when I read it, the number one was in bold, you know, online.
And now they're all bolded.
And now they're all bolded.
That was just the PowerPoint maker's error.
Okay. All right. Well, I would make a motion that we accept number one, and the CUP 08-18 has submitted.
I would second that.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second to accept option number one. So could we have a roll call vote, please?
Charlotte.
Aye.
Recky.
Aye.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Motion carries. We're good.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Tell Scott hi.
We'll do. Which one?
For now.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Will we get to do this again when Nevada does theirs? Because they're building a whole new thing.
Yep.
South
of town.
Yeah.
It should be coming up.
Okay.
They went through the subdivision request first. And their conditions.
Since I live in Nevada, do I need to abstain? I mean, I'm not gaining anything. I'd rather
be interested in it.
Unless your rates are going to go so low. Or no rates
at all.
That'd be all right. Okay.
So when I read this report, it sounded like these crazy rains we get, 5 inches in 2 hours, actually is affecting this type of process, which I had never really thought of before. But
Yeah,
I mean, if you're kind of running a... I mean, because they seem like the way they use them for processing, they keep them fairly full. And I'm guessing that's on purpose. And then our weather has been crazy.
Yeah.
We spoke with the applicant about that. And I think this is pretty common for a lot of smaller rural communities to have this type of system.
Mm-hmm.
So they're supposed to hold it for 180 days to allow for natural treatment. But when you get a larger rain, then you have to discharge it sooner. So it's not like it overflows or something, but it's, you know, discharged sooner.
Seems like this will give them a lot more flexibility.
Yeah.
And is there signage along the drainage ditch that says that there's wastewater that's discharged? I didn't know if that was mandated by the DNR or anything.
Okay. They require warning signs on the fences.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
I mean, the discharge requirements are very strict.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Good.
She spoke to
yeah.
I toured the Ames plant.
Oh, did you?
And at the end of the tour, one of the employees drank the water.
Oh. That would not sell.
And I'm like, okay. I don't think they're into bottling water yet. But it was very interesting because, you know, you go through that. I mean, that was the wastewater treatment.
Right.
Which is still, you know, yeah, I guess the same thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is a massive system. I mean, it's very interesting if you get a chance to tour something like that. Because
is that the one on 13th Street?
No, the one down by Cambridge, Cambridge.
Yeah, right off
of
I-35,
there's one area, one area where they come in so fast that there's fish coming in.
Oh, wow.
You know, there's fish flopping around. That's very interesting.
Okay. Any comments from board before we end this meeting? Welcome, Matt.
Welcome, Matt.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Staff, anything to tell us?
Yeah, I was just going to give you an update. We've got a few things that we're working on from our work program. Our work program is we sit down with the Planning and Zoning Commission and Board of Supervisors every year and generate things that are really special project related outside of our normal daily activities. We've got a few ordinances, which ordinances go to the Planning and Zoning Commission and Board of Supervisors. State law indicates that there's, you know, a process that you have to follow to approve the ordinance. A couple of things that we're working on are improvements to our access requirements. We're trying to work on the organization of the information. We have access information for situations involving county roads, accesses along those, accesses that come about from the creation of new lots that are created through subdivision processes. And then there's language for accesses that address how we get access and a route to existing lots that would be considered to be developed.
Yeah.
That could be developed. So we're kind of working through that. Home businesses, the county has a home business ordinance, which it allows someone where there's an existing dwelling to run a low-scale business for service or product-related activities. And it's kind of viewed as like an incubator, and there's limited requirements. And if you're meeting those requirements, the idea is that your neighbors probably are not even going to know that you're running a home business. But you have to have at least one person who lives in the dwelling be a part of the business. The rules allow for one person outside of someone who might reside in the dwelling to be a part of the home business. You can't have any outside storage or display. In addition to the house, you can have one building to store your materials or equipment or whatever it might be. But again, it's really kind of low scale, low key, low impact. But what we're finding is there's a requirement that these be renewed every year. And so we start our review process by looking at aerial photography and, you know, keying in on, you know, outside storage, you look at vehicles, and sometimes that's a clue that maybe you've got many more employees reporting it on the site than is required. But what we're finding is we don't really have anything in place that maybe help home businesses that are on a path to grow. So we're trying to work through some language that would maybe allow that to happen. We had it before the Planning and Zoning Commission, and there was some input about, you know, maybe we need to have a pattern of from an applicant meeting requirements for a certain period of time, and then, you know, through our review process, we would allow them some time period, whether it's a 6-month period or a year period, to transition, maybe transition part of those things that are not going to be meeting the home business requirements, or to transition out into a district like a commercial light industrial district or a heavy industrial district where they can, you know, have a little more freedom to operate and to grow their business. So we're looking at that. We're also looking at an ordinance that will address traffic impact. Every time we review a subdivision, and most of the ones that we look at are smaller scale, 4-lot or less, but occasionally we look at some that are a little bit larger. So we're trying to figure out, you know, what's the actual impact to the county road system? What's the impact to adjacent subdivision road systems? So we're working on a pretty detailed ordinance to require applicants, developers, to involve an engineer to give us an idea as to, like, what the vehicle count would be within the subdivision, what's the count on the county road system. If it meets a certain threshold, then we're going to have a study, a detailed study. There's language about involving the county engineer, ultimately involving the Board of Supervisors, since subdivisions ultimately are acted on by the Board of Supervisors. But the goal is to try to figure out really what the impact is on our existing system, what improvements need to be made, to the surface, the lanes, what changes need to be made to an interchange, whether it's stop signs, signalization, that type of thing.
Question?
Yeah.
So is this Story County that you're, nothing to do with Ames or Nevada?
Well, it actually, the interest spawned from some of the activity that's within the Ames River Fringe Plan area. So within 2 miles of the city of Ames has kind of spurred the interest in us doing something like this. And I think we've had the ordinance amendment to the Planning and Zoning Commission at least twice. Anytime we add an ordinance, a new ordinance or an amendment, we go to the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then they make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. And then it's, state law requires us to have the discussion, to have a hearing before the general public about any proposed addition or change. But it was actually some things that the traffic levels in the Angel Fringe area that created the interest in us doing something.
So when Ames has come east a long ways now, I officially have an Ames address. So do they have, I mean, how does that urban fringe work when Ames and Nevada are, is that over with effectively then at that point?
Yeah, the boundary does not change with annexation of the Ames Urban Fringe plans. The boundaries are the same. Although when we looked at the east industrial area, which is what Randy's talking about, to change an area that's ag slash industrial transitional to more of a permanent industrial area. There was a bound, the eastern boundary did change through this amendment process at 580th. Mm-hmm. But generally, it doesn't change unless it's specifically identified in the request, which that's what happened with this one.
So Ames, of course, can't annex into the Nevada fringe, or could they?
I think 590 is the north-south line. Yeah.
So then do you contact property owners around that proposed change to the subdivision you were talking about?
Well, the ordinance, for the most part, you're looking at, there's a requirement to do a publication.
Okay.
So, because otherwise, we really, because this is countywide,
right?
So we'd have to notify everybody. And yeah. So how you do that is through publications. That the Board of Supervisors adopts three publications, and that's we publish summaries of what we're proposing for language in those three newspapers. We would do it before the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, and we would do it before the Board of Supervisors. Plus, we have a nifty website.
Yeah.
We would put information out there. But we don't actually do like a mailing ordinance.
Okay.
Another thing is we added cabins to commercial campgrounds. There was a request that came about through the YSS request. There was no language to have permanent cabins, so there was an amendment that we did. And when we got to the Board of Supervisors level, there was some discussion about the limit of stay, the time period, because right now it's 30 days. It's like October through April, I think. A total of 30 days is permitted. And there was some discussion from the Board of Supervisors that really that we need to look at that and maybe allow more time than 30 days. And so we're looking at bringing that forward. And then another one is an existing ordinance that was inadvertently left out. It was a conditional use permit involving dog breeding and boarding that was in our conditional use permit, and again, something that was inadvertently taken out. But when we codified, we just codified, which means we had several ordinances. I think the last time was 2013. Every 5 years, state law says we need to bring all our ordinances together and publish and have a hearing before the Board of Supervisors to get everything into one document. And when we did that, we noticed that it was missing. So we're going to be trying to bring that forward. And there's been some discussions about adding to that existing ordinance. It was pretty limited in that There was no detailed standards, but there was some language about buildings and the runs being a certain distance from property lines, and then the use itself being like 200 feet from an adjacent dwelling. So we'll be bringing that forward. So those are pretty much the ordinances that we're working on. And then development cases, we may have something from the Pleasant Grove Church, which is northwest of Ames, for a proposed building for their membership, and then parking. They're looking at some options for parking.
Is that the same one we've had?
I've been talking about it. They're still working on the details.
Okay. We did do approve the Catholic Church, though, outside of Gilbert.
Paul Jean Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because they did an addition.
Peter Paul. Mm-hmm. What is Paul and John?
John.
Paul Jane. Paul Jane. Catholic.
I'll mention that to Father Dyer. You didn't get it right.
Who's this James?
Question on that. Do we like the flyover for Ames? Will we hear anything unless, I mean, we won't hear anything unless it's a time constraint to where they come back? Because the progress that was sort of reported here 2 months ago now, I guess.
You talking about the
Highway 35?
You talking about the ball pit?
The I-35 flyover.
Mm-hmm.
Because the information that was conveyed to us that evening, like, you know, they're a quarter inch off or whatever, and now they're destroying the top 19 inches and starting, you know, I mean, so obviously there might be more than one reason why I wanted a higher.
Yeah, and you're talking about the ball pit extension, which is supposed to be, that was extended through the end of September. They needed more sand for their cranes, which they haven't started the horizontal.
No. Which they're, at this pace, they're a long ways from starting it, it appears. Because they're still
working on actually the ball pit. I noticed that. I go by there every day. They're working on adding material to these setbacks. Yeah, they have to meet their restoration requirements also.
But if they needed more time, yeah.
That's when they would come back. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Did they ask for the additional time after their shenanigans with the tops?
And again, it was administratively extended, and then we brought it back to have the board take action on it. And they, that's when we uncovered or found out that they took out more material than they're supposed to. They didn't meet the front yard setback, so they're actually adding material
to the bar of it. But I think that was just like at the same time as they found the issue with the tops. I don't know if how it was related.
Yeah, the CUP has nothing to do really with the bridge. That's separate. I mean, other than they were using some of that material for the work that they were doing. Footings, but actual support pillars, adjustment that they're making. That's
what the time constraints would, in my mind, are they don't need the sand until they need the sand, and then they need to put it back when they're done with it. Mm-hmm. And they've got a lot of work.
They're still working on those supports.
I'm just curious.
Any other updates?
That's all I have.
Nope. Amelia, do you know anything other than what you've shared and told us about drainage ditches?
Nope. Jerry gave all the updates,
I heard.
We'll be back next month, I'm sure, with something.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you to Matthew for participating.
Yeah.
You guys gave me an easy one tonight.
Let's find a really good one for next time.
They'll be in, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, with that said, I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. No one's opposed, Stephanie.